an honor for me to get to come and to share the gospel. I told somebody today, I believe this is the best meeting that I've been in thus far this year. And when I say that now, we haven't seen anybody saved as of yet, but we're going to tonight, I believe. Amen. But spiritual meeting. We've got away from that. And nobody's fault but our own. You know, they sung that song a while ago, Rock of Ages, Clear for Me. Have you ever thought about that song? The Rock of Ages. I said the Rock of Ages. It floated Noah's boat. Amen? That Rock of Ages, yes, sir. It helped the children of Israel to cross over on dry land. It was that rock in the fiery furnace with the three Hebrew boys. Amen. That praying man by the name of Daniel. That rock was in that lion's den. Ezekiel saw that wheel in the midst of the wheel. That was the Rock of Ages. Amen. It was Amos's plumb line. It was Amos's plumb line. Yeah, it sure was. Hallelujah. Take your Bible, turn to the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 23. I'll read you just a few verses of Scripture tonight, and I'll share with you what God has given me. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33 and verse 34. If you would please, as a way of reverence, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter 23. And verse 33 and verse 34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This evening I want to preach to you on the dying words at Calvary. Dying words at Calvary. Brother David Sewell, would you pray?
And for his precious name's sake, Lord, we ask. Amen.
Amen. This evening I want to preach to you on the dying words of Jesus Christ. Yes. Jesus, my friend, he hung on Calvary's hill. He hung in the midst of two thieves in that middle cross. And as Jesus went through more agony and more pain than anybody, I believe, on the face of the earth, as Jesus stood there in Pilate's hall, as Jesus stood there at the scourging block, as Jesus stood there as they crowned him with a thorn of thorns, as Jesus stood there and they stripped him of his garment, as Jesus stood there and carried that cross out of the top of Golgotha's hill, yes, my friend, Jesus had some dying words, and those dying words is found in the 23rd chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And you'll notice the first thing, the words that came out of Jesus was compassion. The Bible said, Father, I'll forgive them. Oh yes, my friend, Jesus spoke with compassion as he hung on that cross, as he hung suspended between heaven and earth. He spoke with compassion. He had a love, my friend. He said, Father, I'll forgive them. Did you know as Jesus hung on that cross, he saw every man, every boy and girl, as Jesus hung on that cross. Friends, he saw out into the future that we'd meet this Friday night at Antioch Baptist Church, and he saw every man, woman, boy, and girl that's in this building tonight, and Jesus speaks with compassion. He's saying, Father, forgive them. Listen, my friend, not only did he forgive the Roman soldiers, not only did he forgive Pilate, not only did he forgive everyone there that day at his crucifixion, but he'll forgive you and I if we'll come tonight and invite Jesus into his heart and into his life tonight. As he hung on that cross, oh, he spoke the words of compassion.
He said, Father, forgive them. Boy, I remember that day that Jesus said, Father, I forgive him. Brother, we might not have anything to give Jesus that day. I sure didn't. Didn't have nothing to give him. Didn't have any money in my pocket to give him. Didn't have nothing to give him. Oh, but I knelt in that altar and I said, Lord, I'm lost. Lord, I'm dying. I'm going to hell. And Lord, if you'll forgive me, Lord, I promise you, I'll live for you from this day forward. And what a journey it's been, amen. What a journey it's been, amen. Listen, my friend, as he hung on that cross, he spoke the words of compassion. He said, Father, forgive them. Listen, he stands tonight. He's willing and ready and able to forgive you of your sins tonight if you'll just come. The second thing you'll notice in this scripture, in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43, Jesus said, today thou wilt be with me in paradise. Jesus spoke on that cross with authority. That's the second word that he spoke that day. He spoke with authority. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Here's a man that's a common criminal. Here's a man that's a thief. Here's a man that deserves to die and go to hell. Oh, but listen, he asked the Lord. As the Lord was on that cross, he said, Father, forgive me. And Jesus looked at him and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He spoke with authority. And listen, he wants to speak with authority tonight in this place. He wants to take you to heaven. He wants you to get saved and redeemed tonight. He wants you to know him just like that thief did that very day. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. He spoke on that cross. He spoke with compassion. He spoke with authority. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Oh, hallelujah. Boy, I'm thankful for that tonight. I'm thankful for that tonight. The third thing I want you to notice, that Jesus spoke from that cross. He spoke with love. There was a woman standing there that day. Oh, hallelujah. In John chapter 19, verse 26 and verse 27, there's two things that Jesus said from that cross in those two verses of Scripture. He said, woman, behold thy son. Oh, yes. And then he said in that next verse, he said, behold thy mother. There that mama stood. Her heart was broken. Her heart was stripped out. And she saw her baby boy suspended between heaven and earth. And saw him standing there, and he looked at her and said, behold, mama, my son, your son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then he looked at her and said, behold, my mother. Oh, what a love. What a love he had. He had a love for his mother tonight. But not only did he have a love for his mama, but he had a love for me. He had a love for you. Brother Wayne, he had a love for you. My dear brother, he had a love for you. He had a love for you, my brother. Brother Larry, he had a love for you. Amen. And not only does he have a love for these folk here, but he has a love for you. He loves you. You think your mama loves you. You think your daddy loves you. You think your grandmother and grandpa loves you. Oh, listen, that youngest boy of mine, the youngest grandboy of mine today, oh, listen, him and Grandma was swimming in the swimming pool at the house. And he's kept telling us that, Grandma, I want a strawberry milkshake. He's 4 years old. And she said, I ain't going and getting you no strawberry milkshake. He said, that's all right. Granny said, Pop will be home tonight. He'll take me over to Jack's and get me one. Oh, what a love I've got for them boys. Amen. Oh, listen, what a love I have out for those grandboys of mine and my children. But my love will never compare to the love that Jesus has for them. Oh, listen, it'll never compare to his love, the love that I have for my family tonight. As Jesus looked on that cross and looked at his mom and said, I'm your son and you're my mother. What a love that was displayed that night. Boy, he loves you. He loves you tonight. He loves you tonight. And he wants to save you. Those were his dying words. It was love. It was compassion. And it was authority. I want you to look at the fourth thing that he cries out from that cross is agony. Agony. Oh, in John chapter 9, verse 28, he cried out and said, I thirst. He had words of agony. I don't know why he done it. I read this book every day. I don't know why he died for me. If I got what I deserved, I'd be in hell tonight and my neck broke. That's where I ought to be tonight. But you see, when he was praying to the Father in Gethsemane, he prayed, he said, Lord, not my will, not thy, not my will, but thine be done. He goes back and he finds the disciples asleep. And he goes back and he prays some more. And he prays, he says, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. He comes back and he finds them asleep. And then he just tells them to sleep on. And he goes on and prays again. The Bible said his sweat became as great drops of blood. And he said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And the Bible said he drank what was in the cup. He looked into that cup and he saw Tim Box's sin. He looked in that cup and he saw William McClellan's sins. He looked in that cup and saw David Sewell's sins. Amen. He looked into that cup and he said, Father, oh, David Sewell needs a Savior. He needs a Savior. Do you understand what I'm saying tonight? He's saying, oh, Denver needs a Savior. Amen. And I'll go through whatever I've got to go through and die on that cross that Tim Box can have a Savior, that Tim Box can be saved and birthed into the kingdom of God. Folks, he went through agony. He went through pain. He went through excruciating agony just for somebody like me and like you. Cried out. And he said, I thirst. The fifth thing I want you to notice in this, in John chapter 19, in verse 30, Jesus cried out and said, it is finished. It is finished. What does that mean? That means redemption. Everything's been paid for. Redemption. You're not going to get saved by joining the church. You're not going to get saved by being baptized. Oh, no. Only way you're going to get saved is through the birth and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when Jesus said everything's been done, everything has fell into place, yes, my friend, and he cried out and he said it is finished, that meant his redemptive purpose is in plan. And if you get into the kingdom of God today, it's going to take the blood of Jesus Christ, not the blood of turtle doves, not the blood of lambs, but it takes the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Crying words from the cross. Cried out with compassion. Cried out with authority. Cried out with love and agony and redemption. But notice what he said in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. What does that mean? That means he's got a yearning to see his Father. I've got a yearning. Y'all don't get me started on that. We'll stay here all night. Folks, I got a yearning to see him. I got a yearning to see him. Boy, I want to see him. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Amen. And oh, listen, when he said that, he saw him face to face, I believe. Oh, I got a yearning. Amen. I've got a yearning to see him. I'm gonna get out of these old wet clothes here in a few minutes. I change clothes and I'm going to get in my truck and I'm going to drive back to Winston County tonight. And somebody said, preacher, won't you just stay and rest and get up in the morning and go, don't want to stay and rest. I love you, but I got a sweet woman at home. Amen. I want to see. Amen. I want to walk in the house and kiss her on the cheek and tell her how much I love her. Amen. Yes, sir. I want to get home. Amen. I've got a yearning to get home. Amen. And folks, not only have I got a yearning to get home in the physical life, I've got a yearning to get home in the spiritual life. I want to see him one day. Hallelujah. Oh, a yearning. A yearning. A yearning. Father, I commend my spirit into your hands. He had a yearning. I've got a yearning to see him tonight. But I want to take everybody with me. I want to take everybody with me. Everybody that's in this building, don't you go with me. Won't you go with me? I want you to go with me. I want us to go. I want us to go to heaven. I want us to walk into the city of God. Ready to meet God. Do you know him? Got something troubling you on the inside of you tonight? There's something bothering you tonight. There's a strong thumping right here. Amen. Preacher, I really don't know what to do. I tell you what to do. Come down here and unload it tonight. Come down here and unload it tonight. Amen. Come down here and tell the Lord. Say, Lord, I'm lost. Lord, I'm not a Christian. Lord, I want you to forgive me of my sins. Lord, I want you to come into my heart and my life. And boy, I tell you what, if you'll do that tonight, heaven will stand at attention. Amen. Jesus' blood will cover you from the top to bottom. And when you get through with that, the Holy Ghost will come in and he'll seal you with a seal greater than the seal of the state of Alabama. Amen. He'll seal you with a seal greater than the president's presidential seal. Amen. He'll seal you with heaven. Yeah. He'll seal you with heaven. Amen. And you don't have to worry and live a life of uncertainty because heaven will be your home. Oh, you need to get saved tonight. Boy, I tell you what, I told you this morning about that little old grandboy of mine. He's 8 years old when he got saved. Yeah. He called me. He lives in Tuscaloosa. They live in Tuscaloosa. He said, Pop, I'm lost. Boy, I went to jerking and grabbing shoes. Amen. It's 2 hours from my house. Boy, I went to jerking and grabbing shoes. And I said, Son, you all right? Pop, I'm lost. Pop, I'm lost. I said, Son, Pop and Grand will be there as quick as they can get there. Hallelujah. Boy, I'll tell you what, it was wonderful. Boy, I'll tell you what, I can't stand it when these little children feel that uncertainty. I can't stand it. It's bad enough for you and I to feel uncertainty, but a little child feel that uncertainty. Boy, we need some mamas and daddies to alarm them up. Amen. We need some mamas and daddies to alarm them up and make them feel safe and secure and lead them to Jesus Christ. That's what we need today. You're here tonight. You need to come get saved. But Denver, come on. Come on right now. Come on. We need to sing right now. Somebody needs to come to this altar.